Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is episode number 2 with Eric Chang. Eric is the English ministry pastor of the Connect Church in Cary, North Carolina. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Hey, Sammy. It's good to be back.
Yeah, thank you so much. And today we want to know more about your ministries.
Sure.
So can you tell us about your prior ministry experience?
Probably the easiest way to summarize it is kind of where I've been in terms of churches previously, without naming names, but just to kind of paint a broader picture. I originally grew up in a Baptist church that was independent. They would be probably very similar to SBC, actually, very conservative, but also the way I like to describe it is the center of what they believe would probably fall right in line with SBC, but certain aspects would be more conservative and less conservative than where the SBC is. So it was just a very broad sort of upbringing. And the pastor that we had at the time growing up also was really... He was very dispensational and yet also very fair towards Scripture. And so it's very interesting how I look back and see artifacts of older sort of theology there. But it really, a lot of that teaching and understanding has stood the test of time because it's just the desire to be biblical in that ministry. So growing up Baptist, afterwards I ended up starting ministry within a Korean Baptist church, and they were also independent. And this is the same church that my parents were saved in that was started within the American church that I grew up in. But not too long after starting there, I would say at about a year and a half mark, I got called to serve at another church and had to wrestle, but the math was pretty simple. We had two part-time jeondasas at a very small, like 120 200 person church, and the English ministry was just a small portion of that. And so I was like, well, we have two and they have zero. So and that began really my journey. Since then, I've served in two Methodist churches, both in the UMC, as education pastor, or education director, I should say, technically. I've also served in two Presbyterian churches. And one was in the PCUSA, and the other one was in the Goshen denomination. Mm. And they were both, again, education director, in theory. So that's, I shouldn't say in theory, that's what was my title. And then meanwhile, also served in a second Korean Baptist church that would be here. But just before, I'd served actually in a non-denominational Chinese church, a Christian church. And so I've had a variety of background. And I'd say, as far as ministry experience, that's probably one of the most distinctive things that I have. The reason that I served in the two Presbyterian churches was because I was in a region of the country that had very few Baptist churches available. And at the time, it was not really... I guess I did look for Baptist churches, but that's where the Lord led me and provided and trained. And meanwhile, very similar for the Methodist churches too, was not in Baptist country. And probably in terms of ministry experience, what it's really done is helped me to see a broader picture of Protestant Christianity on the conservative end, and to really grow and learn what is Korean, what is denominational, and then what is American, and even being in the Chinese church context, I think probably even more so drew that out, what is common within Chinese and Korean culture and not common, and forced me to wrestle with what is our Christian faith. I've just seen a variety. I've preached a ton. Every place I've been, pretty much every week, preach and teach, and so that's where the bulk of my experience has been. Pretty much everywhere we go, minister with youth in college, or youth, college, and young adults. That's been pretty standard too, so yeah.
How did you become a pastor of the Connect Church?
At the time, in discussing with the leaders of the Chinese church that I was at, we had pretty much agreed that the Lord was, I sensed the Lord was guiding me elsewhere. And so we came to that agreement and discussed through that, and really thankful, because it was actually a very smooth and very supportive process. But as that process was happening, we just began to search around and look for ministry positions. And so between talking with friends and looking at available postings and things, began to narrow a list. And the Lord slowly just opened and closed doors in sequence. And sometimes the door was only open for a temporary purpose. I think it was to kind of nudge me. And I think very importantly, the challenge of how you are called to a church. You see, for most pastors, we're not probably going to be at one church for our whole life. Very few are, or just a few churches in our lifetime. And I think that's because most pastors have to grow a lot. Secondly, I think most congregations have to grow a lot through different pastors. But for me, I think that was what the case was, and I was growing a lot. When I see the progress over the years, I mean, this is now my seventh church that I'm at. Some people might look at that with horror, but I would say it's actually, I don't feel any guilt or shame at all, because I know that the Lord has really brought me to every single church and every ministry just as He needed. And I wouldn't want to stay one day longer than God wants me, or to leave one day sooner either. And so I'm thankful was able to transition smoothly. And you know, that in and of itself is a real challenge. How do we move from ministry to ministry? And it takes a lot of character and some planning and also flexibility. Hopefully, pray hard, is that you're given somebody on the other side of the table that you're working with that will make that process smoother. But even then, we still have a lot of ability to shape the circumstances in which we go in and go out. And I think it's very important. And as we go through time, I think that the other important aspect is that we need to make sure that how we hear God and how He guides us hopefully ought to become subtler and gentler and quieter and even briefer in His guiding, that our sensitivity should grow, not the reverse. I see too many people and they go in the opposite direction with that, and they're the ones that end up not in ministry anymore. Mm-hmm. They either disqualify themselves or they damage other churches and ministries. And so it's a challenging... No, I don't think they teach you that. I don't think people talk about that much.
What is the vision of your ministry and values of your ministry?
Yeah, so like I said, I think in the last time we talked, seven churches now, seventh church, and also only 5 months in here. And I think the important thing is when we come, there's a certain aspect where you don't want to change too many things right away. But on the other hand, there's usually some things that probably need to be taken care of. And for me, the process is still at the point of getting to know the congregation, number one. Second of all, working on trying to establish some Bible studies and classes and education. But a lot of it is really just right now is about building relationships. Where each church is at, I think they're in a different place comparative to the others on how they're maturing. And I'm still trying to get a pulse on that, even as we're trying to move forward. So, you know, the ultimate vision is that we would try and build a very vibrant and healthy and dynamic and growing church, to fulfill the Great Commission, if you want to put it in simple biblical terms. But how that plays out and what that looks like, I think, is very different. And within sort of the second generation community, I think that's a thing I think we're still wrestling with a lot. We don't really seem to have a very strong, coherent, transferable model. And I think that is probably also to the fact of the uniqueness and the challenges that we have for appreciating each congregation, second generation congregation. So I'm not overly worried, but there's a really, I think, a very strategic and critical role, but it's going to be unique. Whatever is strategic is typically more unique.
What are some exciting stories of what God is doing at your church, at your ministry now?
Yeah, and thinking about this question, it makes me think about having a non-answer sort of, or a reverse answer to the question, because, I mean, we can always boast in the Lord, but you know, I'm really happy because I feel like the Lord's really doing some wonderful things. Probably the things that excite me most are the things I can say the least about. Our church is still a growing church. We are probably coming close to moving out of the church planting church phase, planted church phase, into a growth phase. And there's a lot of changes that need to happen. So, you know, we can talk about the specifics of those changes, but probably what excites me the most is how people are growing and changing. I see that, whether it's in the, or so to speak, pews in the seats, to the lives of our members, and yeah, just I can see the Lord at work in their lives, and that's been really, really exciting. And yeah,
can you give me some example of how lives are changing? You don't have to.
If we were happened to be, let's say we're in a deliverance ministry, mm-hmm. Those things would be pretty dramatic and outward. Mm-hmm. If we were in some sort of recovery ministry, those would be somewhat dramatic, but also deeply internal. And but I think with Asians, I think one of the things, we internalize so many things, mm-hmm. and so it's tough to really get to how do we really know that we're making an impact in people's lives. But one of the ways that I can see that is if people are processing that, mm-hmm. and it can be in more articulate feedback, because your average congregation member might come up and say, "Oh, great sermon, Pastor," and really what that is anywhere from nice compliment, mm-hmm. Because I have to walk by you and shake your hand, and so I don't want to be pleasant, just, you know, and polite, but to actually I mean something by that. You know, and there's this whole range in between. But if someone says something very articulate, you know, what you said about this particular thing really blessed me. It tells me people are listening and processing and growing. And you can see other signs too, if they're really wrestling and struggling. And I see evidences of that all over the place. And it's been really deeply encouraging. So, yeah.
Great. How does discipleship look like in your ministry? How do you raise up leaders?
You know, to be honest, I think that leadership and leadership development is not necessarily my strongest gift. But, you know, the Lord's given some opportunities for me over the years to develop leaders. And I wrestle with this one a lot, especially because every church is different and their needs are different. To what degree is leadership and leadership development a program? There has to be order. There has to be structure. To some degree, because we have this structure called the church, and we've made these things that we agree upon, and we function in certain ways. But real leadership development is about the specific task at hand, or the unique circumstances that we're trying to address, and the unique person that Christ has made us to be, which means that leadership development will look at least a little bit different for each person. And my personal reach is limited because I'm only one person, but as time goes by, it is the desire to build up a whole team of people. So structure already within the church is there. It's just a matter of, I think, taking who we have that's committed and helping them to grow. And it's whatever form. I mean, a shepherd should go and search all over to try and find the right kind of pasture, the right kind of water, the right kind of environment for their congregation and for their leaders to grow. And so I've just been working on addressing, I think, tools just as needed on a one-to-one basis as circumstances arise, but also trying to now start formulating a plan for our leadership that needs to be incubated in conversation with our leaders. You know, I can't put Saul's armor on David kind of thing. So, yeah, there's, I guess, a variety of things we're trying and working on. It's still early, but time's ticking, and yeah.
How do you keep up relationship with Korean ministry and English ministry at your church?
That one actually is pretty easy. The way that we've structured our church uniquely, I think we've given a wonderful fellowship time on Sunday afternoons where we gather for lunch, and I can literally walk around the cafeteria and meet with different folks. And once a month we have our joint worship service, and so we see each other on a regular basis, including communion. And for me to preach in English and have it translated in Korean, and vice versa, Korean and into English from Pastor Ko, and to administer communion is that's, I think, the very heart of our worshiping together and growing together. I think that's a lot of the central piece. The secondary piece, though, is about my relationship with our staff. And you know, I work with our part-time children and women's ministry pastor, as well as our youth pastor. They're both part-time. And then also my Korean counterpart, Pastor Ko. Mm-hmm. My brother, MC, he's a huge blessing. We just constantly conversing and talking. Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, we have, of course, our church leadership structure. And we're just a very congenial environment to talk and share. And, you know, we're by no means perfect, but I'm really, really blessed because our folks are just, their heart for the Lord and just to continue to grow and serve. It's something that we got to keep working on, but we're trying to plan on some other things too along the ways. But I think we've already got a really wonderful start on that. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing, Eric. Yeah. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.